Our scripture reading is Acts 9, 1 to 6. And I'm going to read out of King James, the Pew Bible version is up on the screen. And Saul, yet breathing out the threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told to thee what thou must do. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Now I told them that story. Let's see how accurate I was. Let's listen to that very gospel story out of John 21. Beginning with verse 4. If you are comfortable and able to stand in honor of the gospel, we appreciate it, but you don't have to. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, Children, you have no fish, have you? And they answered, No. He said to them, Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped in the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were far off from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, Come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, Who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. I had an interesting week. You know, you begin to read scripture and understand things. Excuse me. I love trees, Lord, but anyway, I was reading scripture and I had some interesting things that I haven't thought about in decades and decades. I was thinking about my parents, and when I was little, I remembered, I don't know where we'd gone or any of the details, but occasionally. And we never went anywhere as a family. I mean, we went to a movie 3 times in my entire time that I was growing up. We never went out, and we never went out to dinner. Just, it never happened. But we would go traveling and visit in-laws and outlaws. You know how that goes. And we were coming home late at night. That would happen occasionally. And sometimes the kids, us kids in the back seats, we'd go to sleep. And so I remember vaguely being mostly asleep, and we got home, and Dad would carry us into the house and tuck us into bed. And he, my mom's pretty small, so Dad would pick us up and haul us in. And I remember realizing that, and at some point in time, at another incident, I wasn't really asleep, but I pretended to be, because it was kind of nice having Dad pick you up and cuddle you in on his shoulder and carry you in and tuck you into bed. Do you ever have your parents do that? I pause to lift families who have not had good parents and who have struggled, and celebrate them in surviving, if you will. I was lucky to have good parents, and it was always important to have my parents, because I knew that no matter what happened, I always had a home base to go back to. You know, no matter what I tried, when I went off to college, that was working well. If it didn't work, I could always move home. And then I worked for a while, and it was in a job, and I finally, one day I just had to quit the job. And I thought, well, I'll see if I can find something else, but if I don't, I can move back home. And so we had that anchor and that security in the background. I don't know if my dad ever knew that I was pretending to be asleep when he carried me in. Maybe he knew. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. He does now. They passed in 2013, mom and dad within 2 weeks of each other. So that safety net suddenly evaporated. It was gone. And it was a feeling of the motherless child, the fatherless child, however you want to phrase it. Many of you know what that feels like and understand that sense of the loss of that security. But I don't know if Dad ever knew, but now in heaven he probably, well, he heard the sermon now, so it's out in confessions out there. Scripture this morning. I'll tie it together in a minute. Don't worry. Or I hope I will. The Acts scripture that Renee read. Paul. This is good old Paul of the New Testament. All the letters. We use the phrase epistle. That means letter. And he's writing all the letters of encouragement that have become a part and an undergirdment for our ministries and our Christian churches and his mission to the Gentile. This is the Paul that's persecuting Christians, and he's on the road to Damascus. He has a letter to go and persecute more Christians. He's ready to really dive in and give them the dickens, boy. And he doesn't see Jesus. If you reread the scripture carefully, a bright light, and he's knocked off his horse. He's laying there blinded by the light. Why are you persecuting me? Who are you? Well, I'm Jesus. I'm the one that you've been persecuted, and the Christians, my disciples, are the ones that you've been persecuting. That's a close encounter. That's Jesus getting a call that he couldn't ignore, and it would have taken that for Paul. He seemed like a real stubborn, real self-centered, real controlling sort of person, didn't he? Isn't that the kind of thing that we see in Paul? And we see it a little bit in ourselves, as we do. But Jesus gets his attention, doesn't he? And he becomes the great apostle, that the great evangelist. The season is upon us, what can I say? And then John, how did I do? The summary that I gave to the kids, did it fit with the scripture pretty well? Did it fit together? Were they the same story? Did we hear the inferences and the understanding? And the importance of that pericope are that Jesus directing the apostles bore fruit. Some theologians believe that this is an apocryphal story, that it's about how the early churches were failing. The apostles go out to spread the word and it's not working. They're not catching any fish. They try hard. Nothing's happening. And then Jesus says, wait, let me direct you. Put me first. And then they catch so many fish they can't contain them. It begs the question, how are we doing fishing today? When I was a kid, and back in the day, the Christian churches were just growing like leaps and bounds. This church built in 85. Where are we not growing? And none of them are. It isn't just our church. It isn't just United Methodist. It's churches and groups that are not growing. How are we fishing wrong? Come on, Lord. Come among us and guide and direct us. Two of the scriptures, and each worthy of a full sermon by themselves. And the lectionary today included one on a passage out of the book of Revelation. The Revelation of John. You've heard of that. I bet you've heard of that book. And he sees visions and he shares them. And they jump in at chapter 5. But we're going to back up and I'm going to read to you chapters 4 and 5, most of them. And I want you to listen. Now, I've been debating doing this, but if you might get comfortable and close your eyes and promise not to go to sleep, I want you to listen and let the vision and the imagery create visions in your mind and try and envision what they're saying as we listen to Paul's revelation and visions out of 4. Hang on. Are you comfortable? After this, I looked, and there in heaven, a door stood open, and the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there in heaven stood a throne, and one seated on the throne. And the one seated there looked like jasper and carnelian, and around the throne in a rainbow that looked like an emerald. Around the throne are 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones are 24 elders, dressed in white robes with golden crowns on their heads. Coming from the thrones are flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. And in front of the throne burn 7 flaming torches, which are the 7 spirits of God. And in front of the throne there is something like a sea of glass, like crystal. Around the throne and on each side of the throne are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third living creature with a face like a human face, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the 4 living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, are full of eyes all around and inside. Day and night without ceasing they sing, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God the Almighty was and is to come." What a vision. How did it feel? What does it sound like? Just a brief insight. The 24 thrones are the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles gathered. And here is John peeking into heaven itself. I love the creatures with all of the eyes. It's like my mother. She had eyes in the back of her head. These creatures had eyes that could see all, detect all. And there was the throne. Did you hear that? With lightning and thunder. And that sea of glass was a representation of God calming the waters of the oceans. The oceans were wild beyond anyone's imagination, unconquerable, chaotic, and God has made them so smooth they are like glass. And there's the throne. Let's continue. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Then I saw in the right hand of the one seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open their scroll or to look into it. Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals.' Then I saw between the throne and the 4 living creatures and among the elders a lamb standing as if it had been slaughtered,
having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into the earth. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of the one who was seated on the throne. Then every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and all of them, all that is in them, singing, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. Amen. Amen. You can open your eyes, and I kind of need you to open your eyes so that you don't nod off.
Sometimes we forget to allow imagery to impact us. I've seen paintings and drawings and people trying to project pictures of what that would have looked like, and of course you can't. It's like trying to draw a dream that you've had. It isn't real. It's so much mixed with imagery and understanding of symbolisms and all of that, that it only works in our minds. Here, a view through the door into heaven itself, and the Almighty One on the throne, and at his right hand, the Lamb, it is Christ. I didn't warn Pia about any of this. She didn't know anything about the sermon, but did you see her picture that she added, the one graphic of the Lamb with the cross? It is the Lamb, it is the Christ, the sacrifice he's given to all of humanity, the gift of his life. So I reflect on that scripture and I pause and I realize I'm not a motherless child, a fatherless child at all. My mother and father, they are at ease with the saints. But the God that is God of us all is never sleeping, never failing, will never expire. And God and the Son seated there on the throne. Did my dad know I was asleep those nights that he carried me in and tucked me into bed? I don't know. I wish I could ask him that question now, and I guess I will never be able to, until the time that we are rejoined again in the journey of the saints. Does Jesus know when we're asleep and when we're pretending to be asleep? Does Jesus carry us regardless? Absolutely. Does Jesus lift us up, nurture us, care for us, and gently and lovingly place us in places of rest? Most certainly. Does Jesus know all, care for all, and continue to parent us? Absolutely. So now we have to pause and reflect and listen and think about our fishing. Come, Lord Jesus, come among us. Help us fish for men. Amen.